Recording in progress. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday in fall. Can't believe it is almost the end of September. And we are getting into winter soon. And God has been good to us throughout the seasons of life as well as our regular seasons. So let us be thankful for that. And let's also be thankful for the gift of life that God has given us one more day in our life to live in this world. So let us be thankful for the good health and strength that God has given us to join this worship here in church and also online. And thank you all for joining us here and also online. Our announcements are listed in the second page in the bulletins. Those are our regular announcements. Our food bank ministry continues. That will help our children in the Hispanic ministry and in this community also. And also our books are still available that can also benefit the mission work of our church. Our cooking class and art class will be scheduled as we plan on getting new volunteers. And also the third Thursday luncheon will be on October 17th at 1 p.m. in Golden Corral at Marketplace Boulevard in Kami. Please join that for a time of lunch and fellowship. Today is a celebration Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, as we celebrate our blessings of the month, like anniversaries or birthdays or any other blessings, graduations, new babies, retirement. Whatever you celebrate for the month of September, we celebrate and give thanks to God with a prayer. And also we'll have a celebration lunch with the Hispanic ministry people in the fellowship hall after service. So please stay back and join. All are welcome to join the lunch after service today. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church. By your prayers, presence, gifts, service and witness, God loves a cheerful giver. We accept our donations and our gifts over our website, and some new people have started using it. And I'm glad to see that people are using that. It is very easy. We can use credit card, debit card, or bank statement, and also make our accounting very easy too if you do the online service. So if you are able, please try our website and use our online giving options. Also acknowledge Sheila, who is here with us. Thank you for joining us here today. Please say hi to her in our fellowship time after our prayer. Are there any other announcements from anybody? No. There are no other announcements. Let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 185. When morning gilds the skies. If you are able, please stand.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal and Almighty God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come in this church and also online to worship you. We come before you as your children because you gave us eternity and eternal life through your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you for your protection and care and all the good gifts that we receive from you every morning. We thank you for your grace and redemption that you have shown to us through your Son Jesus Christ, through whom we can have eternity to share with you. Help us, Lord, to understand that through sending your Holy Spirit, you opened the way to eternal life to every race and nation, and empowered by the power of the Spirit to live a victorious Christian life, to share your love to this world. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, eternal and ever living. May the services of word and praises we offer here today bring honor and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Thank you.
say why she likes this song. It's her song that we just
sang. I like the song. It's an old African song that they used this song when they knew that Harriet Tubman was coming through to escape the slave plantation. And she would be singing this song that they know then that it's time for them to get ready to go.
Oh.
And they would go meet her. And I like that song. And then I like it because sometimes, you know, we in our dark places, that's a good song that you get by yourself and you can sit home that song and talk to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
And Lou, if we did it the way it's written, it'd be very boring.
Yeah, it's slower. It's slower.
Okay, please be seated. We'll have a celebration prayer and a celebration of the blessing of this month. Birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, new babies, anything you want to call out so that we can thank God together for the blessing that we received through this month. And online also, you can join us calling out, unmute when you start talking. Anyone has any birthdays in September? Anybody here? Our younger son birthday was yesterday, September 28th. Anybody here? Any graduations, new jobs, new houses, new babies? Nothing.
Nothing. We're here. We're still alive.
Okay, let us have a blessing prayer together, a dedication prayer. Please turn with me to page number 570. We'll pray that prayer together. It's a prayer of Ignatius Loyola for a dedication prayer for our life. Let's pray that prayer together, 570. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to seek for reward, except that knowing that we do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, you are the giver of life and you are the giver of light, and all the things that we have is from you. We thank you for the many gifts that you give us every day, Lord. The gift of life, love, family, friends, and church, and many, many other things that we take for granted. Help us also to understand that in Jesus Christ you give us everything more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who celebrate their anniversaries, birthdays, and any other blessings that we celebrate this month. We thank you for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their love towards you and for others. We give you thanks for the past blessings and pray for your continued mercies upon them. Guide them with your thoughts from above every day, Lord, and keep them safe under the mighty wings and protection of the Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith, fill them with love and service for you and for others. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll do the responsive reading now, which is taken from Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10, which is on page 832. If you're able, please stand and join.
Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord for my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are they, works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them.
Full of honor and majesty are the works of the Lord, whose righteousness endures forever.
Who has caused his wonderful works to be remembered? The Lord is gracious and merciful.
The Lord provides food for the faithful and is ever mindful of his covenant.
The Lord has shown his people the power of his works by giving them heritage of the nations.
The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just. The precepts of the Lord are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. The praise of the Lord endures forever.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Our prayer time now, as we come before God with our prayers of blessings and thank God for all the blessings that we receive, and also we come before our God to share our burdens and concerns. As a church family, we share that with each other also here, so we can lift up our needs and our prayers and our burdens to the throne of grace of God. God has promised that he will answer our prayers at his time and at his will. So we trust in his promise that he will answer our prayers according to his time and his purpose. Our regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin in those boxes at the back. Please continue to pray for these people and these items. In our regular prayers, in our daily prayers, remember these people and items that are listed there. Continue to pray for Jean McPrayer. I haven't heard. Do you have any talk?
We went Tuesday to see her. She was doing pretty good.
Okay. She's in the rehab. She's doing better. Well, let us pray that God will strengthen her, especially her legs and her arms, so that she can come back and join us together to worship again. Is Linda doing okay? She's not.
I don't know. I haven't heard from Linda.
Okay. Let us pray for Barbara Casey, Harry Bezor, Carol Clements, and Claudia, Jerry Rains, Lou Hughes, who need our prayers for healing. Let us continue to pray for their healing and recovery. And also, above all, we pray for peace for them and their family members. The caretakers also need prayers. So Amen. Please pray for their caretakers and their families. Let us remember our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks, our delivery clerks, our trash workers, many, many others who serve us on a daily basis that we take for granted, and they are working in the background to make our life easy every day. Let us keep them in our prayers and their families in our prayers. Let us pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many other leaders who make decisions. Let us pray that God will give them the guidance, especially during this election year, that God will keep us safe and united as a country, that we will have the right people elected at the right positions. So let us continue to pray for our nation and also the world, that the world leaders will also be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, and also that they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Pray for those people who are affected by wars and many other disasters, especially the storm that came through affected many, many people and took lives. So let us pray for those who, the families that are grieving at the death of their dear ones, and also the people who are still looking for power and water and many other things that they need every day. So let us keep them in our prayers. Also the relief workers who are working there, that God will give them the grace and the supplies that they need to help out during this time. Let us pray for our church to do his work in this community God has placed here, to do his work faithfully, to people who are around us that need us. So let us pray that God will help us to be faithful in the ministry that he has given us to do, in the opportunities that God has given us, in whatever ways we can, small and big ways. And also the churches around this community, the pastors, the leaders of the church, that they will also do the work faithfully, trusting in God and the trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are the prayer requests that I have. Anybody to add any special prayer requests for anybody?
Yeah, I got one. I want to pray for the Benson family, my first cousins.
Who?
The Benson, B-E-N-D-E-R.
Okay.
They are my first cousin. They laid their sister to rest. She passed away.
Benson family and?
Huh?
Just one family.
Yeah, just them.
Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks will find. And to whom who knocks, the door will be opened." Loving and gracious God, we come before you as your children. During this time of prayers, that we come before you with a grateful heart for all the manifold blessings that you shower upon us, Lord. Thank you for the gift of life and family and friends and church and many, many things that we enjoy in our lives every day. We thank you for the good health and strength that you have given us in our bodies as we come before you to gather and worship today. At the same time, we come before you with a lot of burdens and needs for ourselves and also for others. As your children, you have given us the privilege to pray for our needs and also pray for the needs of other people, to intercede for others. Many of us are broken in many different ways, O God, and are tired. Even youths grow tired and weary and stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That's the promise that we read in your scripture. When we are lonely, you are our friend, O God. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. Lord, help us to come before you for our peace and our comfort. You are the healer of our bodies. You are the great physician. We lift up all of our dear ones who need your healing at this time, particularly the ones that we have named here, Jean and Barbara and Harry, Carol and Claudia, Jerry and Lou. We pray for your special healing hand to touch them, Lord. We read in your scripture that by your stripes that we are healed, and we trust in the scripture of promise that you have given us that you will heal our dear ones, when we pray unitedly in spirit. We pray for your special healing and comforting presence to be there with them. We especially pray for their families, that the caregivers also need your grace, Lord. Bless them with your grace and patience. Above all, we pray for peace in their family lives, in their family's life and their lives. We also pray for the Bender family that is grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for your grace and comforting presence to be with them. We pray for all of those who are struggling and suffering because of the storm that has passed us, Lord. Many have lost their homes and cars and many, many things material in this world. Some people have lost their lives and their dear ones. We pray for peace for those families during this grieving time. We pray for all the relief workers that are working there to restore power and water supply and many, many other needs. Be with them and give them the grace and the help that they need during this time. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks, and many, many others who serve behind the scenes. We thank you for their services. And we also pray for their safety and their family safety. We pray for our nation as we go through an election year that you'll bless our nation, Lord. We pray for our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and many, many others who will make decisions, the governors. We pray for your grace and wisdom that they will make the right decisions for the people, for the good of the people. We pray that you will elect the right people in the right places during the election time. We pray for a united and a peaceful election this year, Lord. We pray for the world leaders also, that they will also make decisions fearing God, that will bring peace to this world. We pray for all those poor people who are affected by wars and other problems, struggles around the world. We pray for your grace and peace upon them. We pray for our church here, Lord. We thank you for this time and this opportunity that you have given us as a church in this community to be your witness. Help us to spread your love and care and compassion to the needy people around us, Lord, faithfully with all the circumstances and the opportunities that you have given us, Lord. We pray for all the churches around this community and around the world, the leaders of the church, the pastors, the missionaries that work in your vineyards. Strengthen them with your power of the Holy Spirit, that they can be powerful witnesses for you, bringing more and more people to the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. We thank you again for your time, the time that you have given us here today to worship you, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, that each one of us here, in our singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of our word, in everything that we do here, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Scripture says, whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Everyone should give according to what God has given them in their hearts, for God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us, including financially. You are the source of all that we have and we are, and we bring before you a portion of what you have given us, Lord. You are merciful and gracious. From your open hearts we receive everything freely. We bring before you everything that we have, including our lives. Gracious Lord, we understand that you have given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom that we got everything that we need before, even before we ask of you, Lord. We pray for all those who were able to give joyfully today and all those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we will read the scripture now. The scripture today is taken from the book of Esther, an Old Testament book, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Esther 4, 12 to 16.
When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your fathers family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Living God and living Word, we come before you, your Word. We thank you for the gift of the Word that you have given us, Lord, to be life and spirit. Open our hearts and our minds so that we can receive your Word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls so that we can see and understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Help us, Lord, to be humble before your word so that we will obey your word and experience the power of your word in our lives so that we can be a source of blessing to this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Esther is also a small book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Towards the end of the Old Testament, you will see Esther. And it's a very interesting book, and that's the only book in the Bible that the word God is never mentioned. And that's very interesting. But at the same time, you can see the work and the power of God working through people's lives in that book all through from the beginning to end. The story of a young girl who was orphaned while she was very young and was adopted by a relative and was growing up in a foreign land and then eventually becoming the queen of that land. It's a very, very amazing story how God works through circumstances and places in our lives. Many times we do not understand why we go through things in our lives, and we shared the story of Joseph last Sunday about the things that he had to go through. And we talked about how unexpected things will happen. But if we look at the whole picture, all of this will fit together as a puzzle, and we do not want to lose sight of the big picture when we go through the little pieces, sometimes that are painful, sometimes we don't like them. But as long as we don't lose sight of the big picture, we will be okay continuing our journey of life. Because God is putting together all these puzzles in our lives through experiences that do not make sense sometimes, but there's a big picture that God has given us. And look at the big picture. That's what we see in Joseph's life, Esther's life, and many other saints in the Bible that we can see. Have you ever found yourself wondering why you were in a particular place at a particular time? I always wonder about myself being here preaching. A guy who was born in a very different situation, in a very different culture and land, on the other side of the world. And here I am, in this moment and this time, serving this church and preaching here. And if you look back at your life and all the events that you have gone through, you might wonder, what am I doing here at this moment, at this time? How did I get here? Do you have an answer? I mean, you have gone through a lot of different things to get here. But when you were a young boy or growing up, you probably never imagined where you would be here now. You would be here now at this time and this place. So a time and its place. That God has ordained us every moment where you have to be and where you will be. That is what we believe, or we ought to believe as Christians, people of faith. That nothing happens by accidents or by chance. Any time and any place, any moment in our life is decided by God, and it's divinely ordained. It may be a job or a relationship or even a challenge that you're facing through now has a purpose behind it. Because God has ordained that time and place for you in that life, just like Esther. I was reading the story of a scientist, and Louis Pasteur, you all know probably as the scientist who actually invented or discovered many medicines in medical history. And one of them was rabies vaccine that he discovered or he created. And it's very interesting how that happened, because rabies was a very dreadful disease at that time. There was no cure for it, no medicine for it, in the late 1800s. And Louis Pasteur wanted to make a difference, and as a scientist, he was working on many different medical inventions, and one of them was to find a vaccine for rabies. And during that time, one of his neighbor's children got bitten by a dog infected by rabies. And the family was desperate. They knew when you are infected with rabies, it was death sentence. There is no cure for it. But this neighbor knew that Louis Pasteur was working on medicines like this, so she went, the mother went, and talked to him. And he said, yeah, I have some work that is going on in my lab, but it's in the developmental stage. We haven't tried it on human beings or anything yet, but we are working very hard to try it on human beings to find a cure for rabies. So the mom asked him to try it on her child. Even with reluctance, he did try that medicine, that vaccine on the child. And he had to do 3 or 4 different times to inject that vaccine on that child. And he knew the risk was great. The child may die, because he didn't know exactly how it's going to react in humans. But weighing on the risk and the balance, that either the child will die due to the vaccine, or eventually the child will die later on with the rabies. So he took a chance with the permission of the parents, and the boy survived. That was the biggest development in the vaccine of rabies, and we still have that in our medicine now. So what did all these things happen? A scientist living in a community and a neighbor's child got bitten by a dog. All of these things happened with a purpose. If you take one piece at a time, it doesn't make sense. Why would an innocent child get bitten by a mad dog and get rabies that doesn't have any cure? The child is going to die. Why did that happen? And this Louis Pasteur was trying something very different, and he was there at the right place at the right time. And all of these things came together, and that changed the history of medicine forever for rabies vaccine and many others. Louis Pasteur. So we are all placed in situations in our lives, in a community where you live, the job that you have, or the friends that you deal with, or the family that you probably don't like. Doesn't matter. The church, the neighbors, everything that has that is having an impact on you is ordained by God. As people of God, we believe that. Sometimes some of them may not be interesting or enjoyable. Some of them may be painful. But at the same time, if as people of God, we are asked to trust in a God who works all of these things together. Each of us is placed in situations where we are to act on faith and knowledge. And that's what Louis Pasteur did. God orchestrates every time and place as part of his divine purpose. Even if in our old age, the sunset of our lifetimes, sometimes we think that our role in this world is over, our responsibilities are gone, our children grew up and they have their own families, and we are by ourselves and feel like empty nesters and maybe later on in nursing homes and facilities. But even in those situations, remember that this is one part of the puzzle that God is putting together for the bigger picture for your life. So we should never think that our life is useless or fruitless, even in our situations of weakness and sickness and debilitating situations of our physical body. Continue to trust in a God who is working all of these things together for your blessing, for the blessing of this world, and for also for the glory of God's name.
Amen.
So let us trust in him. The book of Esther is the story of an orphan girl, as I told you, who was at the right place at the right time. And she took some risks and acted on some decisions she had to make. And that changed the history of the world also. It was written probably about 300 or 400 years before Christ, when the people of Israel were taken into Babylon after they took over the kingdom of Israel and kingdom of Judah and took all of these people, some of the good people and talented people, to the kingdom of Babylon. This is happening in kingdom of Babylon while these people who were refugees there were living there, and this is what's happening there. And Esther was born and she lost her parents while she was a young girl. So she was adopted by her uncle's son, who is her cousin, an older cousin, who took over her responsibility and raised her as his own child. And she was a little girl, didn't know anything, a Jewish girl living in a foreign country, in a Babylon country. She has probably not much of a future to think of or plan for. But Mordecai was her cousin, had a job in the palace of the king. But he was a very faithful man. He trusted in a living God also. So he was a very faithful man, and so he had some good positions and powers and promotions in the job that he had in the palace. Because of that influence of a Jewish man in a different kingdom with a different king, the people in that palace, the staff, others, were very jealous of him. In the past story that we talked about Joseph, his brothers were jealous of him. But here, the staff in the palace, who saw this foreign man becoming an officer in the palace and getting promotions, and they were very jealous of him. So there was this one guy called Haman, who was very jealous of Mordecai, and plotted a plan to kill Mordecai. And along with that, he also planned to kill all the Jews who were refugees in the country, because they knew they were flourishing, they were hardworking. So Haman was plotting a plan to kill Mordecai and also his relatives and all the Jews in the country. At the same time, something else happened. The king had a big party. Are you listening?
Yes.
Or am I losing you? So I'm trying to tell the story to give you some history behind it. So the king had a big party. So he wanted to entertain all his big staff and his people, the big people of power and wealth in the country. He brought all of these people together and had a big party there. And then he also asked his wife, the queen at that time, to come before the party with some fancy dress and all that stuff, so that he can flaunt her beauty in front of all these people. And she was offended by that. And she said, I'm not coming. She refused to come to the party because of the way she was projected and portrayed by the king in the party. So she refused. And you know what happens when somebody refuses the king. Her queenship is gone. And she was sent out from the palace, and the king was looking for a new queen. And that's what's happening with this time. And he sent out messages to around the country to look for young girls, beautiful girls, talented girls, to be the next queen of the king. So Mordecai knew about it. He came home and talked to Esther. Esther was maybe about 16 or 17 at the time and said, "Well, you are a very beautiful girl, very talented. Why don't you just apply?" She said she was very shy and she probably knew she didn't have a chance. Anyway, she applied for the job, and eventually, through all the process that she had to go through, she was selected as the queen. And that she became the queen of Babylon, of a foreign land at that time. Look, all these things happening on an orphan girl who had no plans for her future. Think about, she had no hope other than to just live there, make a living, and go on with life. God raised her to a place of power in the palace, just like Joseph, who found himself in Egypt. Abandoned by his brothers and sent to Egypt in a foreign country, he became the prime minister there. So it's just like that, Esther became a queen, the queen of Babylon, who had very good power at the time. So when she became the queen, at the same time was this thing happening about Haman and the other people plotting this plot against Mordecai and the Jews to annihilate and kill all the Jews. And Mordecai told Esther, and that's what we read here today, "Esther, you are the queen now. You are in a place of power that you have never imagined, or you have never thought in your life that you would ever become. You are in a place and you are in a time that is appointed by God for a purpose. You have to act on it." So this is what Mordecai told her. "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone will survive and all other Jews will perish. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come from another place, because God will bring out that from another place. But you will eventually perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." That's what Mordecai sent the message to Queen Esther, a little girl, young girl in the palace. He told her that this is the time for you to act, because God has placed you in a position of power with a purpose. And people of God are going to be destroyed by some plots that are plotted by evil people. And you have to talk to the king. And she was very afraid to go and talk to the king, because she's a foreign girl and she just got to be the queen and she didn't know how to handle these kind of situations. So she, you know, if the king gets angry, she might end up in the same position as the previous queen. So she was very afraid and scared of her life, and she told Mordecai that, you know, unless the king usually has an appointment, nobody would go to her, even the queen. And it is very hard to get an appointment, and Mordecai said, "Go ahead and try. This is your time, this is your place." And she took that word and challenge, and then met with the king and asked for an appointment and explained all of these things that were going through at that time in the palace and in the country. The king wasn't fully aware of what was going on with the plot to kill all the Jews. When he found out about this plot that Haman was plotting, he was very angry at Haman and all the staff in that palace who were plotting against Mordecai and the Jewish people. So he decided or sentenced all of these people to death. And Haman was actually put to death instead of Mordecai, that he wanted to get killed. So that is what the whole picture of this is. And that's how we still have Israel. The people of the Jewish people are still here in this world, because it changed history. If Esther had kept quiet and did not use her power, afraid of her life, probably there was not any more Jews in that country, or there was no history of any more Jews. But that was not the divine plan. That was not God's plan. God takes people, simple people, weak people like you and me and places us in places where we are now. This time and this place of history where you and I are is very important for God. There is a purpose that God is accomplishing through your life and my life. It may be to this church. It may be to your family. It may be to your neighbors. It may be to your workplace. Wherever you are, God is working through you for a purpose in that place that God has placed you. Regardless of how old you are, God is still using you in ways that you probably don't think that you are getting used. God has a purpose for it even in the moment of our weak times of our lives. And Mordecai acted at the right time also. Esther also acted at the right time. Remaining silent or doing nothing is not an option for Christians. Even if you are very old and cannot walk, you can still pray. You can still pray for others. We can still pray for the neighbors. You can still pray for the world. Regardless of where you are, in what condition you are, we can do a lot of things to be a blessing in this world. So remaining inactive and silent is not an option for Christians. We have to be active. We have to always be caring and compassionate and loving about this world, to this world. As this Jewish girl who acted on the advice of Mordecai, it changed the history. And such a time and such a place, seizing the God-ordained moment of her life, we are all called through her life to be acting on the ordained time of God's timing in our life. Our time is very important. We all know that all time, regardless of what the developments and times that we are going through, are unique time. Every moment is a unique time in life and in history. God's intervention in human history can be natural and supernatural. God is hidden in this book, as I told you. But this is the only book in the entire Bible that is not God is mentioned. But God's work is revealed right from the beginning to the end of this book. There is a festival called Purim Festival that I shared with you that the Jewish people celebrate every year. And this is the festival they remember this story of Esther. During this time of festival, they have some celebrations and they have lunch and dinner together as families, and they celebrate the victory of good over evil. And that's what happened with the story of Esther. And they will read the book of Esther from beginning to end several times during those 3 or 4 days of celebration that they do in the families, in their temples, in their congregations where they meet. And then the name of the festival is called Festival of Purim, P-U-R-I-M. The name of that, the meaning of that word is lot, casting lot, like lottery. The history behind is that this Haman, who plotted the Jews, to kill the Jews, he actually cast lots to find a day to declare the death on this Jewish people. So he cast lots to find the date that he can kill those people. So the Jewish people now celebrate that with casting lots, to cast death on evil instead of good. So that's why they call this name Festival of Purim, Festival of Casting Lots. That's what it is. And now you all know that the Israel, people of Israel, are going through a big and troublesome time. And they all know this story. And they are surviving. And they will survive. Because they know their purpose in life. They know they are placed in a situation, in a place where they are. And no matter how many times the enemies will try to destroy you, God will intervene and God will give you the power and to act upon. It is our responsibility to respond, to use the time and the opportunity to seize the moment and to be acting on the opportunities that God has given us to do. Paul says that you walk circumspectly, understanding the importance of time, redeeming time, because the days are evil. We read that in Ephesians. He's talking about the importance of time, the importance of place where we are placed, and to recognize that time and place is the wisdom. So let us pray that God will give us the wisdom to recognize the time and place that we are here, to understand the purpose that God has given us to do. In this church also, that God has given us responsibilities in many different ways. Many times, sometimes we don't want to get involved in things because we don't want to take responsibilities. You know, many simple, small responsibilities or big responsibilities. To take ownership of the building or the church, the maintenance, cleaning, many, many things that we have to. But each has its own importance and priorities that God has placed us. So let us take opportunities and seize the moments and be God's witnesses and understand the time and place that we are in, to use that for God's glory and the blessing of others. May the good Lord bless us these words as we go from this place to be His witnesses for His love and care and compassion. Amen. Our closing hymn is 382, Have Thine Own Way. If you are able, please stand and join the hymn, Have Thine Own Way, 382. Please stand if you are able.
Have Thine Own Way.
People of God, whether we are in a season of blessing, challenge, or waiting, know that God has placed us here for a reason, at this moment of time, in this place. And let us thank God for this time and opportunity and place that God has given us. So trust in a living God who is putting all of these pieces together. Even at the weakest moment of our lives, God is using us for His purpose. Trust in that living God as we go from this place. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.